Joseph in South Dakota, listening on EWTN. Joseph, you are on with Trent Horn. What was your comment?
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, good. Well, to answer your question, I guess I am a, if I was honest, a circumstantial agnostic or atheist, I guess. My parents were Catholic, and but they were never insistent on attendance to Mass or anything, so any sort of belief. So anyway, so my dad once drew me a little 2x2 matrix, and he said, listen, I believe, I guess, because if on the y-axis you have that God doesn't exist, and then you don't believe, then you're okay. Mm-hmm. If God doesn't exist and you do believe, well,
no harm, no foul.
Whatever. Then if God does exist and you don't believe, well, you know, tough luck, buddy. But if God does exist and you do believe, then you're okay. So overall, it looks like 3 out of 4, you're better off believing.
Yeah.
And that's what he said, but it didn't seem to me like a good enough excuse. It's like, okay, I'll believe just in case.
Joseph, let me jump in real fast, and then I want to continue our discussion. I actually agree with you. I don't think that what you're referring to is a variant of an argument or reason to believe in God called Pascal's wager. And I would agree with you that the wager in and of itself is kind of, well, you should believe in God because it's safer to believe in God. That on its own, I don't think is a good reason to believe in God. And that, in fact, Pascal, Blaise Pascal, who came up with that, that wasn't his original argument. He basically said, well, if you're on the fence 50-50 about whether God exists or not, why not just believe, because you have nothing to lose if you do believe. You'll be a happy, holy, healthy person. And that was essentially his argument. He didn't even say you should believe to avoid hell or things like that. So let's continue our discussion. So, Joseph, you're saying that that wager wasn't sufficient for you, and now you've sort of become a circumstantial atheist or agnostic?
Well, I just my question to the or my comment to the screener was,
sure.
If we have natural law that we all understand, and we in many countries and have this basic set of rules to live by, the laws and all cultural ways of living, also that will them themselves can lead you to a decent life, maybe not a glorious life, a wonderful life, but at least something that you can say, yeah, I was proud of that life. I never killed anybody. I generally didn't lie. You can go by the list of things that historically we've been the most common laws in history and say, yeah, I can live by those, and that's fine. Why do I have to add the element of belief to these things to have a life that I can be proud of toward the end of it?
A life that you can be proud of. Now, that's very interesting. So do you believe that our lives have some kind of purpose, or there's a way we should be living?
Right. I mean, I don't. There's a way we should not be living, at least. You can tell by the way we've gone wrong in history, you know, and the way we've gone right in history. You try to emulate the good behaviors.
Okay. But, so, Joseph, I'm curious. Let me present to you a scenario. Suppose you had a choice in life where you could live a certain way and you felt it was the right thing to do, and society was corrupt and wrong, and you're trying to reform it. And so by trying to live this right thing, like, for example, promoting racial integration or combating lynching and racism, and the majority of people thought that you were wrong and you were very unpopular, and your family thought, you know, they're not very proud of this decision you're making, would you still choose to do the right thing, even though it is very unpopular?
Yes, and I have. I've lost some friends and family members, and at least communication with them over these deals. You know, I wouldn't want to get go on extent over these, but...
Now, Joseph, I commend you for that. Why do you think all people should choose what's right over what's popular?
Yes.
Like, it's a fact they should do that.
I don't know if I would extend it. Go ahead.
Well, it seems to me that you're appealing to that there's a standard for how we ought to live that goes above and beyond human beings themselves. It transcends time, place, and culture, this standard that you ought to live a certain way.
Yeah. My point is, you can even go to the Bible and read it. Read in the Old Testament the things that have led the Israelites into trouble, or the things that Jesus said, and that's all fine. You can take him as a guide to live your life, to be great.
But Joseph, it seems to me you're saying that it's a fact that we ought to do good, that, you know, it's a fact you ought to do good, even if it's unpopular, even if you don't like it, as if we ought to live that way, or we were made to live that way. Now, how do you explain that if there is no God, that we should do something that's unpopular and difficult rather than just something that's easy or helps our survival? Because if there is no God, how could there be these kinds of moral facts or a way we are supposed to live if everything is an accident?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Like I said, you can either take the Bible with the extent of belief or without the extent of belief in God and say, hey, I can take this book that was written by men and about the life of men, or possibly about the life of Jesus, who was possibly God, and just decide to live your life by it. And there's some things that you're going to see that, I don't know, there's a certain sense of, at least in my case, what has happened in the past is that I see, no, I can't do that, even though it's a very popular decision. I can't go by that.
You can't go by the Bible, is what you're saying?
No, the Bible. I'm sorry. No, I'm not talking about the Bible right now.
You're talking about doing something, some other course of action that's popular, but you said it was wrong.
Right. You were saying there's some things that are popular but are wrong. It's like, for example, originally where I'm from, I'm not I'm originally American, but there's a lot of things that we do back there, the third world country, and that I believe that now that I've come to the U.S. and see the way that other things are made, other things are we live by the honor code here in the U.S. Back home, I see that a long list of things that everybody does, mm-hmm. like not obeying certain laws and that are not enforced, and say, but we should do that because it's immoral to me. I mean, it's.
Is it not just to you, but would you say for them it is a fact that what they're doing is wrong?
Well, I never thought of it as a fact.
But then it seems to me, if you only say for me, then it's just your opinion. But then would you agree that when we say it's wrong to rape women, it's wrong to abuse children, and who knows whatever was going on in the home country you're talking about, it's not just, well, I don't like it. It's, that is wrong. You should not do that. You must stop doing that. And so we're appealing to something more than just how we feel or an opinion. We're appealing to a
yes.
fact about the way we ought to live.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that too.
But then the problem is, this is difficult then for atheism, where do these facts come from to say human beings are supposed to live in a certain way? Now, as a believer in God, this works for me because I believe, well, God is just perfect goodness and love itself. And if God created us in his image, then we are supposed to be like him. He's perfect goodness. He's perfect love, perfect justice. But when we sin, we choose to not be like that. And then we hurt other people. And so I think that you've stumbled onto something here, and I appreciate you. So, well, that's, you know, it's a good question to ask, to think through. If it is a fact we are supposed to live a certain way, under atheism, life is an accident. You could choose to live in lots of different ways, but to say you're supposed to do a certain way would imply there's a plan for humanity. And I think there can only be a plan for humanity and the way we ought to live if there's some kind of cosmic planner, a perfectly good one, I would say, and that would be what people say God is. So definitely something to chew on there, and feel free to call back again, or you can check out my book, Answering Atheism, or I have a few other resources on this topic you might find interesting.